Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for needlework artists. Boy, it's been a long time. That break was nice.
It was. And Happy New Year.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, no, when I set up the thing to record this, it's like, oh, it's been a while since we actually talked on a microphone. So, yep. Nice break. Tonight, the Stitch Hour returns tonight. So we'll be back on our regular schedule of a Wednesday and Sunday podcast and live show on Wednesday night. Tonight, we're going to have Drun Rivera from Manila in the Philippines. And he does Mirabilia projects. And so we're going to get to look at those and talk to him about doing Mirabilia projects and so on and so forth. And so tonight, when we're doing the live show, which is 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel, will be 9 in the morning in Manila. So he even contacted his boss to get time off so that he could do the show. So we appreciate that. So join us for that. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love seeing some Mirabilias. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's... that's one of those... Yeah, obviously, not a design that... Not any of those designs appeal to me. But I have great admiration for the quality of the designs and the color use and all the beads.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're absolutely gorgeous. They have to be, and they're of decent size, most of them too.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yes, they are. And just the way the designs, the color flow is just, the color changes, just gorgeous on them. So that'll be a fun show.
Yep. No, that's anybody that does those. You know, I kind of almost put those in, not quite, but almost in a class with full coverage, in that they are so detailed and so involved that obviously they're not a full coverage thing, because those full coverage things, especially the ones that are the size of a bed sheet, you know, that's a lifelong undertaking. But these Mirabilias are, they're impressive. They really are.
Yeah, they are nice.
Yeah,
they are really nice.
And people collect them, and it's kind of a neat little world of itself there.
So. Yeah, so I've only done one, and it was a small one, but I have several in my stash. So
there you go, because it's what you have, the full sized ones, and then what, there's those little like sprites or fairies or something.
Right.
Is it? Yeah.
Right.
And those are and half the size, are they?
Right. They're not as bad to do. I know I did one for my daughter, and it didn't take me very long. So
yeah,
actually, I finished something.
There we go. Are they all spec'd in DMC?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. But they have the Krynex in them. I can do beads, but the Krynex, the blending filament.
Oh,
it gets me. There's something about that stuff. I love how it looks, and I do use it, but it also
makes you tired. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's just like you have to take a deep breath and say, okay, I'm going to use this. It's going to be lovely when I'm done. Just slow and steady.
Hang in there. Yeah. So, so that'll be fun tonight. I'm looking forward to that. So join us 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel for that. And we started this past Sunday. Now we started the Rosewood Manor Spring Hill Stitch Along, and you can still obviously none of us is good as finished it this week. So
no.
So you can still get in Needle in a Haystack, needlestack.com. Kathy Ray will fix you up. If you go to weetalkfiber.com/springhill, then you will get to the page for all the kits, the four different kit variations. You can do your own, but there's four different options. What Jennifer and Beth and I are doing, those three, and then the original Sullivan's one that Karen Kluba put together. And so you can choose those. Kathy Ray will get it right out to you, and you can join in. If you join in the minute you get it, you'll probably, within 10 stitches, be ahead of me, so don't worry about it.
and I'm having fun stitching on that 45 count. I realized I went back and looked at the little bit I had stitched and I had a couple of, I was like a thread off on my letter A, so that had to come out
Already.
already. Already.
Now,
So
how is that? Is that are you adjusting to that?
yes, I can't wait to pull it back out, but I know I need to have another light and stronger magnification. My I normally use like a 1 or 1.25 magnification on my nose, the extra set of glasses with my bifocals, which brings laughter into my family's house. And my nose is not long enough for three glasses on my face, so I do need a stronger set of magnification. So
Okay. But then once you have that, and with the, I mean, the lighting is so key. I think people don't appreciate how good lighting makes so much of a difference. But once you do that, then you're okay with it.
right. I know I got another couple letters done, and it was just fun to stitch on, because you can see it. Once you have the lights right and you just start, it's like, okay, yeah, I can see the threads, I can see where I'm going. My kids did get me a millennial frame
Oh, they
from,
did. Ooh.
yes, it
Ooh.
took them over a year to get. They were supposed to be my birthday present, and so it was my Christmas present instead. But yeah, beautiful, and
Those
that's
are
what I put
nice.
on. Yeah, that's
Okay,
nice.
good for you. So, all right, so that we don't exchange gifts here anymore, because we
You're grown up.
neither one of us needs a thing. So what else did you get for Christmas? I mean, Millennium Frame, that's pretty huge right there.
Right. My husband got me a tablet so I can do
Ooh.
the 17th century white work samplers class, so I can read the lessons. I was excited about that. And then my parents sent me a little cash, so I bought some tweezers for
Ah.
that class, which I had the Uncle Bill's or Uncle Billy's, whatever those are, but they're short. So I went ahead and got some Bowen tweezers, which have a longer, so it's easier to hold them. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I always had a pair of cheap tweezers like you would buy for plucking eyebrows or whatever, you know. And actually what I had those when I had marine aquariums. I used those a lot for pulling things out of little crevices and rocks and stuff. So I just washed them up and used them, but they were just cheap quality. And now this pair of tweezers that I have now are really good quality. And once you have good quality like that, I think you find, I know I find I use tweezers a lot more than I ever thought I would. They're just handy little tool to have laying there.
Right. And I had to reverse stitch a project I'm stitching for a nephew. I made a huge error, and so I used my a Bowen seam ripper. You mentioned getting one of those little things. They're not that expensive.
Right.
I needed a new seam ripper. I added that to my cart. And then I did use the tweezers to pluck out all the
Yep.
fuzz.
Yep.
So it made a bad job better.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest plus is they make a really bad just an irritating job go away faster. Yeah.
Right. And those Bowen, they are nice. They are very nice. And they were reasonable. I found them, they're like 15, 16 bucks each. I didn't think that was too bad of a price.
No, not for quality,
For
no.
Yeah, so
No.
they were good. They were nice.
You
So
did all right then.
I did. I did.
Good for you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm plugging away on I am absolutely on a mission to get Hannah Longstreth finished. I am
You are
just
so close.
I
You are so close.
got one more motif on the third row. And then I've got the bottom row of motifs. There's five of them. And I keep telling myself none of them look all that big. But man, every single one of those takes forever. They just oh, it just goes on and on. But yeah, five more to go and then it'll be done. I am absolutely determined to get that thing done. Yep.
Yeah. It's beautiful. You're doing a great job. It's a beautiful piece.
No,
Just
thanks. Yeah, I really like it. You know, and it's one of those, of course, the photo is just functional yeah. that's on the chart. And boy, when you stitch that thing, it really is. But it's interesting for me. It's all in, I'm using all NPI silk. And the silk that you use, it's 835, which is a really, really dark green that you use because most of the things are like little shrubs and flower plants and that kind of thing. Most of the motifs are that. And you use a ton of this 835 to stitch all the branches and leaves. And that's what really takes a lot of time because it's these winding, crooked branches, you know. So you got it like up one, over, you know, a diagonal right. for three, then up four, then a diagonal for two, then up two, and then it'll branch off into two branches. And if you miss it, then you get to go back and redo it all again. And and it's all this 835. And I don't know what it is about the 835. And I'm on my second skein. I bought three skeins. If you do hand a long strath, get at least two skeins of that because you're going to need it. But it the 835 frays fast, and it snags. And so
have
I find,
you tried a bigger needle?
Yes. I have tried a bigger needle, and I'll tell you the problem with that is then on this 40 count, which is really tightly woven, then finding the hole with the needle gets to be a problem. I spend a lot of time hunting for holes. And so I've been back and forth. And the only thing I haven't done is use beeswax or something. But then the interesting thing is with the same needle, then if I get, when I get to do a color for a flower or something, we're right back to nice, smooth, shiny silk that just slips right through the ground cloth. It's really frustrating.
I'm sure it's the dye process. Dyes, you know, I know from dyeing myself, you know, different dyes work, affect your materials in a different way. Uh-huh. And it just, I bet it did, because to get a nice dark color, like a black, it requires, if you put just a little bit of black in something, it'll totally change the color. But if you want a dark, dark black, you have to add a lot of dye to get a dark color. So I'm just wondering if it's got kind of got, I hate to say it got more dye in it, or, you know, if that affected it or somehow in the dyeing process. Yeah.
Yeah. Something, cause it behaves completely different from the other threads. And when I get to use another thread, it's like, oh, thank you. You know, thank you. We're back to stitching with silk again, you know. But now that I've talked this through right here and the moment, I think I will try tonight. I think I will try some wax. I think I'll drag it through some wax and see if that helps.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, because it really gets frustrating. It really does. And it knots up on, you know, it'll snag up and then knot up in the back. And I think I pulled it all the way through, and it'll be this little tiny knot with a loop. And it's like, oh, geez.
And I know. Yeah. Yeah.
There was one small one, the small motif to the right of Hannah's name. I ended up, other than one big leaf, I ended up restitching that whole thing twice because either the thread I thought just looked too ragged, or I had a knot on the back that I didn't catch. And it was just this small one that I thought, all right, I'm going to rip through this and be on to the next one. It ended up taking forever. So, but now that we talk it out, yeah, I think I'm going to break out the beeswax and see if that doesn't help. But, you know, it's so frustrating and so that's interesting to know about the dyeing process, because this last motif that I did, once I got done with all that 835, and then I thought, oh, now I got to deal with the colors, and it was just perfect. It just went right through like nothing, like it's supposed to. I was done in no time and moved on. And so things we learn. So, all right, wax right. tonight, wax tonight. Yep. But I'm getting that thing done. I'm telling you, I am going to get it done. And,
you know, it's a beautiful pattern. And what's the color? You're just using like an off-white or something. It's not a
white. No, it's more of a cream color. I forget. Mm-hmm. Is it Russian tea cake? No.
Oh, is it? Oh, because I like Russian tea cake.
I think it might be, or it's very close to that. But yeah. But it's, no, it really is. There's a couple of colors that I think I might, you know, I've thought a couple of times about changing because I don't think they stand out well enough, but I don't think it's worth it. You know, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with what's spec'd and get it done and be glad to have it off the rack. So.
Right. Yep. Right.
Yep. So that's my mission. But then I do want, we started this Spring Hill. So I do want to, Jennifer had talked about, you know, trying to keep on a schedule of at least 2 hours a week on that. So I do want to see if I can't keep up with that. And
I found 2 hours of stitching on that. It doesn't make a huge dent. I was like, okay, I think I got two letters done. That was an hour a letter. Well, I'm really moving fast here.
Oops.
Oh, that's right, though. I think it's a matter of getting used to the linen count for me.
Yeah.
And I did have to keep switching needles because I couldn't figure out the needle that I liked.
Yeah.
And I think I finally ended up with a 28. Mm-hmm. That's what worked for me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm using on this, on Hannah, is a 28. And yeah, I did. I went to a 26. That was one of the first things I did. But I just, you know, it's just so fat. The linen is so tightly woven, and the 26 mm-hmm. was just so fat that it was like, I can't find the hole fast enough, and I was just wasting time. So I went to the 26, but all right, wax on the thread. We'll give it a whirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should work.
Hey, we both got Juliana Rakama magazine.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you, two magazines to subscribe to. Even if you don't do a lot of service embroidery, two magazines, Inspirations and the English version of Juliana Rakama.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that I get both of those. I really am.
They're well done. They have I've got mine in front of me, the Italian one, and the images are gorgeous in them. And yeah, the translation's a little rough. So I couldn't just sit and skim through the translation. I'll have to sit and, but there's articles really to read, which I like. I like having something to read, to make me think. And I've only looked at my September, October edition. But the bird that's in there.
Yeah. Christian Paris. I'm sure it's not Paris, so I'm going with Paris. Christiane Paris from Belgium. She has in there some, certainly three-dimensional, but stump work-ish designs that are, they're six kinds of mind-blowing. Yeah.
Right. And the other one I liked that we didn't talk about is on page 40 is the Raphael Grotesque is what I'm going to call it because I don't want to slaughter the Italian. But they're from they're like ceramic beads, ceramic little spindles. And it must have been they had it in the last issue, too, that they were doing something to do with the 500th anniversary of Raphael's death. And I like those, too, because I just like the vibrant colors.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful to look at. They remind me of Italy because we lived for a short while there. And those colors they scream to me of where we lived and what we saw there.
Yeah, you have that extra attachment with with Europe because you were there for a while, yeah.
Yeah, so, but they had a quote at the beginning of the, I'm looking, going back, flipping, I'm flipping through my magazine again. It got me distracted. Okay. And she, they had a little in the editorial and they said they wanted to know what makes people optimistic. And it said something about what does optimistic really mean? And it said the psychological disposition that leads us to choose and consider mainly the best sides of reality, or to expect a favorable development of the course of events. So from the Latin optimus, it also means excellent. And I guess for me, I was thinking about this. We've got a new year, 2021. And, I just want it to be excellent. I want to be more creative. I want to push myself in this creative bent a little more than just doing. I like cross stitch and I like needlepoint and I like counted canvas, but I'm kind of thinking, how can I push myself to better what I'm doing, to be a better art? I hate to say artist because I don't really consider myself an artist, but to be better at this art and this creative bent. And that's kind of one of my goals for 2021 is to get better at it. And
so, all right. So is that in a way in which you are creating your own needlework, or you are taking designs from others and putting them on a different level or both?
I think it's going to try. I'm going to try to do both. So we both signed up for the 17th Century Whitework Sampler class also.
Yes, we did. yes, we did.
and that goes along with that, because I took Gan Rogers Drawn Thread Sampler, and Jane Ellen taught that online through Shining Needle Society. And it was basically, come up here, go down here. Gan held your hand through the whole thing, and then you had Jane Ellen to ask questions. You know, her, you know, Gan's instructions are perfect. They're, you know,
right.
Come up here, go down here, no yeah. questions asked. And that class, I have never finished it still, because it was such a new technique and such a struggle for me. It was a hard. And now we're doing the 17th Century Sampler class, and Trish is really going to stretch us.
Mm-hmm. yeah, really is going to. Yes.
Because I knew how to do a buttonhole stitch. I knew how to do needle weaving when I did Gay Ann's class. But I don't think that's what we're doing in this class.
No.
I think we're...
No, we're not. No, we're not.
We're learning something new.
Right.
And which is good. It's, you know, I'm glad I'm taking it, you know, but this is going to be a stretch.
Yes. Well, that was the thing in the first lesson, because we just started. It started on the first, so the first mm-hmm. lesson. But the first photos where she shows the stitching that was done in the 1600s versus more modern stitching, both aimed at achieving the same look.
Right.
And the stuff done in the 1600s, much more involved, intricate, detailed.
Right.
You could tell as time went on, people started cheating the game and taking the easier way out. And so, yeah, so we get to learn the hard way, but worth every bit, because the difference is striking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And okay. So Gan's class, was done originally on 24 count Congress cloth. And it was, and if you can find images of it online, and I'm sure there are, it's beautiful on 24 count, what she did. And I took the class because it was such a striking, but this is even finer. I mean, I think we're working our first sampler on 40 count.
Right.
And then I think we also have, what is it? 53, 63.
Right.
In
yes.
our kit. That'll be fun. That'll yeah. be, but it, so it's going to be much finer work. And that has always, I mean, I'm drawn to, those techniques. If I go to an antique shop or go to an estate sale and I see linens where I see drawn thread work, I just immediately pick it up. I'm looking at it. I want to see it because it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It has an appeal, and it is going to be a stretch. It is going to be a stretch.
What did you say to me the other day, that there's two or three slots still open in the class?
I think so. I think what she ended up doing is she reopened the class up, and she got a few more kits. And I can't remember how many are opened. I meant to look before we spoke.
Yeah.
So there's
Thistle. Thistlethreads.com. I think there's a hyphen in the middle. Thistlethreads.com. If you're interested, sign up, because it's going to be an excellent challenge. I mean, it's a longer term class. There's how many lessons? 10, 12? I don't know what it is.
I don't remember.
and a lot of history and a lot of studying of how these threads were done. And so a lot of education, but then what we're going to make three or four samplers.
I think you make three samplers and then you have something that's just that lace.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
Punto something. Punto Aria lace, I think is what it's called. But
Yeah, Punta something, yeah.
yeah, it's gorgeous. Oh, I can't wait till we get to that because I've always been curious about how is that made. But one of those samplers, okay, you do the first one, which is a basic trial. The second one is in color. The third one, technically, you're supposed to make on your own.
Right.
Now, I don't think you have to do that one, but there is something appealing to making your own sampler because what made me laugh is her comment that math, it doesn't always work.
Right.
I can imagine those little girls trying to fit, or women even trying to fit those motifs into. You're pulling threads, you're trying to needle lace in. It doesn't always work. And I kind of wondered, well, why does it not always work? Well, duh, it's math.
Right.
You got to do math when you do
No.
not bad.
But just going through the and what was it that what she discovered was that these samplers that they were hemming the sides before they stitched.
Yes.
So the width was defined. It wasn't like you could just go wide enough to make your band work. The width was already defined, so you had to make it work within that width, which is adds an extra challenge. But going through that first lesson, and the things that have meaning to people who are not doing the class, but going through that first lesson, what I the thing that was sticking in my head was I have a sense when we're done with this, we're going to have a much deeper understanding of how to manipulate threads to get the right look. I think we're going to have a much better understanding of how that's done at a fairly high level.
I told my kids, I said, because I was reading through the lesson, but it's like it's a master's class. So you're really, again, to go along with my 2021, what I really would like. I really would like to push myself forward in my needlework. I'd like to be better at it. Well, this is going to make me do that.
Yes.
It gives me that opportunity to stretch and to grow. I think sometimes we're afraid if the teacher doesn't hold our hand and give us absolutes. But I think I'm ready for that. I think I'm ready to say, okay, yeah, you're not, it's not in stone. I don't absolutely have to do it the way you wrote it out. I'm kind of, she's, she kind of has given you permission to stretch your wings a little bit. And I think people are afraid of that. But I also think, some people, they're very good needleworkers and they could,
Yeah.
however that is, like we discussed, change the colors if you want.
Right.
You don't like the colors, change them, change your ground cloth.
Right. Yeah, 'cause you and Deb DeCrane already changing colors on something that I'm just going to be glad to get stitched, and you guys are already talking about changing colors on it. It's like, stop it, you guys. But see, that's the thing, and it ties in with our guest this Sunday, Ariane Zurcher.
Oh, yeah.
Because and you want to listen to that podcast Sunday, and also now Beth got me hooked into following Ariane, and she's out of New York, and follow her on YouTube. She does a lot of videos at one time,
Lots of
more than she could handle, and she'll do live shows, but she's very much a free form embroiderer. And when it comes to the kind of creativity you're talking about, that's exactly what she does.
And she's not afraid to experiment. She doesn't have a formal, like a more formal needlework experience. So if
Right.
she gets a thread, she's not afraid to say, well, let me see what I can do with this. you know, I think she's got one up on Silk Gimp. If you look that up and what she how she played with that, it's amazing. I would have never tried that, but she said, "Yeah, let's just see what we can do." Well, that didn't work. She, you know, she'll just pop off and try something else.
Yeah. Well, that's and she, yeah, she's not a needleworker. Her origins are not necessarily needlework. She's an artist.
Right. And, she's an artist.
Yeah. And a jewelry artist. And oh man, some of that jewelry of hers is mind blowing.
I wanted to send a link to my mom to show it to her, but I was afraid my dad might kill me if he did that. So I opted not to.
Yeah. The prices on those are pretty healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're beautiful. I mean, they're one of the kind beautiful pieces of art. I mean, that's the point behind them.
Right. But that's that. And that's the fun part of her. And it gets to what you're talking about doing is she approaches it from a completely different perspective.
Right.
The thread and the ground cloth are just tools, just like metal and jewels are in jewelry. And they're just tools that she manipulates to get a look that she may like, or that she'll just say, nope, doesn't work. And I think watching her would help people, just watching her videos, especially her live ones, would mm-hmm. help people get over that hump of breaking out of just simply following instructions.
Right.
Because you really get to see firsthand the mental and hear firsthand the mental process, because she doesn't hold anything back. She just, this is what I'm dealing with today. And yeah, you watch it and nah, it's not working. And out it goes. Or, hey, that looks pretty good. Let's go with more of that. And right. Yeah.
And I think especially, you know, we have people who, you know, you do the counted canvas or the painted canvas. I see that her technique of just trying something and seeing if it works, you know, stepping back, looking at it, especially for the painted canvas. She's made me want to pull out. I've only done a couple of painted canvases on my own, but I keep on thinking I have some painted canvases. I ought to just pull them out, staple them onto their boards and put them out and look at them like you're supposed to do and just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And just sitting in my stash waiting for who knows what.
Yeah. But see, you know, and that's where people who do really effective painted canvas, I think, have that mentality. Give it a try. We'll see what happens. And see what it looks like. See if it works. And that's, yeah, you know, what you're talking about trying to do with your needlework is right along those lines. Let's, you know, the question we've asked many times, what if? What if I try this? And but it's yeah, and I think that the white work sampler class is going to be, I know for me it's going to be unique in that there is structure with flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of structure. There's a ton of history, which is fun in its own right. But then there's not only flexibility but encouragement to do your own thing. I mean, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to design our own samplers and stitch them, one would think.
I would hope.
But it's you know, and you think, oh man, I don't, you know, these big projects, but like the 40 count, the first sampler we're going to do when I cut the linen for that is what, 9x14 or something. It's just a small little thing, and the actual stitched area is not going to be even that much. So,
right. It's small. It's very, yeah. Very small.
But it's,
and that's, and the other thing is it, I was looking at the threads and it's, she even, I've used the Swab Perry, whatever it is. I have used that thread before, I realized. But for some people, if you've only done cross stitch, you've probably never used that one. And so it's kind of fun to just use a different thread that you've never used before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing, but it's part of that stretching your needlework, stretching yourself
mm-hmm.
through your needlework and trying to find a new level. And you know, I got to believe for a lot of people, a new sense of excitement for what you're doing. And, you know, and then you go back to what, you know, someone else's design that you would just normally follow instructions. And I think you, after you do a little of this, then start to look at those differently and say, well, wait a minute, I don't have to do this way. And I think it would look neat this way. So you change it and it gets you over that hump.
Right. And I think, you know, we've gone through this period of time where I think a lot of people got a lot of needlework done in 2020, watching, or at least they started a lot of needlework.
Yeah. There's a survey to do right there. That's a survey.
but I think, you know, I'm afraid people might get bored. And I think sometimes if you've done the same thing over and over again, you might need to, you know, kind of get out of that box, you know, to try something new. What if I change this? What if I, or to take a class, you know, in 2021, so many people are doing the Zoom classes and online things. It's a great opportunity. And,
There really is. There is tremendous opportunity to try anything through online classes, anything. And with excellent instructors that normally you would have to travel to a seminar event or a regional event to get that caliber, and they're available everywhere. You don't even have to look hard, and you can find classes. I mean, EGA's classes all over the place. Since they sponsor Fiber Talk on a regular basis, I encourage you to go to the EGA, egausa.org, and look at all the classes they have, because it's just a tremendous array of things in all techniques. And they're really just doing a bang-up job. And then you mentioned the Silver Needle Society is another one that has been around a long time.
Yeah, the Shining Needle Society.
I do that every time.
but you know, the thing is, it's online. And the other thing is, again, there's always YouTube, which offers a lot. Like, that's how Ariane Zurcher, I just happened to come upon her one time. I think she came up on my Instagram feed, and then I saw her, started watching her YouTubes. And I've had people who don't stitch who follow her now, because she is so creative.
Yes.
And so even if you don't do her type of needlework, just to get in the idea of listening to her and her creative process, it might just help you expand a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what happened to me. Okay, so you said to me, you need to check her out. Okay, Beth, I'll check her out. And my initial reaction was, oh, I don't care about this stuff. She's, you know, it's free form. She's just making it up as she goes. I don't care about this. And I gave it another shot, and I gave it another shot. And wait a minute. No, there's something more to this than just free form embroidery. That actually, the free form embroidery is really trivial compared to what she is doing as an artist. And so then once that little light went on, then I was locked in. And
Okay. So let's just say, you know, you've got you're doing your sampler, and you've got a problem. I think sometimes you get it locked into this. Okay. It's got to be done exactly this way. Sometimes maybe you could leave it. I know that's hard for you, Gary, to leave that mistake.
Extremely.
but sometimes it's okay. And that's part of the creative process. If you could make it your own, if you could say, well, you know, I think I could leave this. I think I could just move this motif a little bit, or move this flower down a little bit, and it'll all work out. And I'm going to just keep moving on. She kind of gives you that creative freedom.
Right.
Too, when I listen to her and to say, you know, or sometimes it screams at you, you know, I just got to take this baby out. It's coming out.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what my experience has been as a result of watching Ariane and, of course, listening to Gay Ann Rogers is, I mean, I am determined this is a reproduction sampler. So I am determined that it gets stitched as the original. Okay, at least as according to the chart, whether how, and I, you know, Barbara Hudson did it, so I'm sure it's accurate. So I'm determined to do that. But I have had more than one moment in stitching those motifs where I have gone through that very mental process you described. You know, I made an error here. You know, I think I might just leave that and go on and do this over here, and it'll be a little different. And then the little voice says, no, you want to do this as true to the original as you can. But then I hear Gayanne Rogers' voice in my head. You know, you made an error. What are you going to do to make it work?
Right.
Not tear it out, but what are you going to do to make it work and do it, you know, in your own way? And I've been through that, and I've stopped myself each time. And if it was not a reproduction sampler, not only do I think, I know, at this juncture, I would find a way to modify to make mm-hmm. it work so I didn't have to tear it out. I know I would, but I just I'm just determined that this be as accurate as possible. And I'm sure there's an error in there too that you'll never see, and I don't even know are there. But you know, I'm just going to stick to that. But already, Ariane, and of course all the other ones we've talked to, but right. She has really been instrumental in just kind of opening my mind and saying, "Wait a minute, you just don't have to slavishly follow these things all the time."
Right. So. But it's hard. It's hard to make that first.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to change it a little bit. I'm going to make it. And I think sometimes cross stitch, at least for me, cross stitch is harder to, I can fudge a little bit, but sometimes I just have to take that out and do it right. Cause if something, you know, it just doesn't line up, then I'm in trouble. Right. I'm more likely to do it with my counted canvas if I can get it to work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just how I am, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned in Spring Hill, that hill that's the main element at the bottom of the design. You know, right. What about stitching that as satin stitch rather than all those rows and rows of cross stitches? What right. What would that look like as satin stitch? And that stuck in my mind. You know, because the satin stitch would give it a downward visual line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're using silk, so you'd have a real nice sheen out of it. It would right. obviously go a whole lot faster, but you know, would it definitely be a different looking hill. And so is it worth a try? And I have to say, I think it's worth a try.
And there's even one section that when I originally looked at the chart, because I didn't have the chart, all I could do is look at it online. There's one, and it's got dark green cross stitch, and then it's light green in the middle. That's what I thought about doing satin stitch, because
mm-hmm.
I thought that would look gorgeous. Because it looked to me, it almost looks raised there, and I'm thinking, you know, if we just did satin stitch there, it would go faster,
uh-huh.
and I think it would look. It would add another dimension to that piece.
Yep. Well, another
now
thing.
Now you got me thinking about little silly sheep too. I wonder if I did a few French knots on those.
I was just going to say that. That's exactly what I was going to say, because I think that's what I'm going to do. I think those sheep are going to get done in French knots.
That's yep. a lot of French knots.
I think they are. I don't mind French knots. So, but I think my sheep are going to be French knotted. I really do. Yeah.
And see, yeah. mine might be too, well, I'd have to see if it would work, because I'm using such a fine linen. If the French knots would look too, even with the finer thread,
mm-hmm.
if they'd look too bulky on that linen, but the satin stitch, I think would look okay. I might have to get that color in a Varissois instead of the 100/3 though.
Yeah. Yeah. You might, yeah, I was going to say you might want to do that. Otherwise, you have to double up.
Well, and because it's that thread is more of a pearl, so it's round,
mm-hmm.
it would make as pretty of a satin stitch.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yep. Because it wouldn't lay as flat, yeah.
No, I mean, it'd look okay, but it would just look better, I think, with a.
Yep.
With the Varissois.
Yep. But see, that's the kind of stuff that, as I look at Spring Hill, that's going through my mind is, all right. What about?
Or okay, let's just be totally crazy that the hill, not a satin stitch, but kind of a Bargello
mm-hmm.
flame, you know, that Bargello stitch. That would be, if you could get it counted out right, that would go pretty fast.
Yep. And create a very different visual effect.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I'm going to have to go contact Kathy and say, Kathy, because it'll take a while to get threads. So I'm nowhere near there. So I might as well get the threads I need.
Yeah.
Taking a little note.
Yep. Oh, that reminds me. Kathy wrote to me. It does not affect the Gary or Beth kits because we're doing one thread over two. But there's two or three colors where Kathy said that she did not realize in the DMC and the Sullivans that you needed more than one skein. And she has ordered the thread, and she will take care of people who are in that boat. So don't worry about it. She's on top of that. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because it triggered that in my head to mention she's aware of it, that she did not send out enough skeins for DMC and Sullivan's for a couple of three of the colors, and she will take care of that. So don't worry about it. yeah. But yeah, so see, that's what happens. See, that's what happens. And that's, you know, the discussions you and I have had, multiple discussions, but then watching Ariane do what she does has really said to me, all right, this look what you can accomplish just by taking a stab at it. And mm-hmm. and she, I mean, she'll try anything.
She will. And she does things that, you know, and I'm like, I know it kind of works, but so, yeah, but she just, and that she's done things that I've thought about doing that I haven't been brave enough to do. When she said she painted over a section of her, she did it on one of her videos, I think. She painted over a section. She didn't like it.
Yep.
Like, she painted over it. Oh.
But see, that's
I thought of doing it.
There's the art. There's the artist. See, because an oil painter, you know how many layers of paintings are under some of those old canvases. You know, So to her, just cover it up and start. You know, just do it on top of it. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yep.
It definitely has me thinking. Definitely has me thinking about a couple pieces that have languished that I'm like, well, maybe I should just paint over them.
Yep.
Start again.
Or try it out. Yep.
Try something else.
Yep. You asked a question in our little list of things that I'm not sure I'm understanding, but you got my wheel spinning. Where you say, do you try to be in the moment when stitching?
Oh, yeah. Well,
so explain, lady.
Okay, so you know, you say you watch football or you watch, you know,
right,
shoot 'em up movies, but and there's lots of my cross stitch. I do too. I listen, but what I was thinking about is this white work sampler.
Uh-huh.
When you're working on that, are you going to have all everything off?
Yes. Yes.
So their piece, I mean, so when I think of, and when I'm just stitching mindlessly, if I don't have something else going on, then I, you know, I quickly like, oh, wait, there's got to be something else to do around here. but when it's something difficult, I have to be there.
Yeah.
Totally in the moment. Totally what I'm doing. Actually, I found the 45 count spring hill required that. I had to, the kids had something on the TV that I wasn't watching, but I had to think about what I was stitching
mm-hmm.
to get that groove on, to get that, my needle and thread going the way I wanted it to go.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the white work sampler will be that way too.
Yeah, the white work sampler, the Queen's sampler that I started, and that was one where everything had to be off. Couldn't have anything on because you had to focus on that. And the minute you didn't, you were ripping out.
The Montenegrin stitch.
Yes, that particular beast. And I bought from Natalie Dupuy her Starry Night Picasso design, gold work.
Yeah.
And I have not worked on that. And I will say that that's one where I know I'm going to have complete attention on what I'm doing to get it right. And right. By the way, she's starting her new couching class. I think there's still some room in that, so sign up quickly with her. But yeah, no, there are some where it just has to be, yeah, everybody go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually, like, I can't be, like, when I stitch it, I stitch normally, my time is at night, you know, starting about 7 o'clock, and I'll give it a couple hours at least. But if I'm tired, then those pieces can't come out.
Right.
Because I can't put in, it just will, it'll be ripped back out. But cross stitch or even the Royal Garden one.
Royal Garden.
The purple one. Yeah, yep. Okay. That's like the purple one. That one I can stitch when I'm tired, pretty much, because I know those stitches and I can just go to town with them. Once I get started on it, I'm fine. But there's some, and this white work sampler is going to require thinking.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
no doubt.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we, you know, as easily not to be in, like I said, you know, it's fun to stitch. It's a hobby. It's enjoyable. But to push myself forward, I need to do more pieces that are challenging. Because if not, I get kind of, it's like, okay, yeah, cross stitch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I need something to, you know, to challenges me a little more. It makes me think a little more.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like that too. Yeah. I need to try and push the envelope. But you know, and there are, for some people it's a pure relaxation thing and they don't care. You know, that's not what they're after, is to expand. They just enjoy it. Like, you know, they just enjoy making X's, or they just enjoy doing basket weave. And it's, you know, it's therapeutic for them, and that's all they care about. And that's kind of the beauty of this hobby, is everybody right. can find their own level. But
And don't get me wrong. There are times when I'm like, I just want to make little X's yeah. on my fabric. And this is fun and I like it. And I find it very relaxing. Yep. Like, modern folk embroidery. Yes. But also, Avlia Designs, her meditative pieces are great for that. I just need to relax. I'm during Christmas break with everybody home. That's what I needed. I need something where I wasn't thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and those pieces fit really well if you stitch in social situations too, because right. you can sit there and stitch and occupy that side of your mind and still be engaged in the conversation.
And, right.
Yeah. And so that's like, you know, that's really, to me, especially that meditative stuff, is akin to knitters, you know, because experienced knitters will just sit anywhere, anytime. Just knitting away, their hands are just flying, and they're carrying on a conversation, watching a movie, whatever. They never look down at their knitting, and you know, and out the other end is coming this massive scarf or whatever it is. But,
right.
But they, you know, you can do that, and with some of this meditative stitching, this Avlia stuff in particular, yeah, you can do that, and it has its place. I that's just what's so cool about this hobby. Is there's so many levels and aspects that you can find something that interests you, but also find something that interests you in different settings.
Right. Right. And you're not stuck in just doing, you don't have to be stuck in doing just one thing.
No.
You know, like you've often said, so it's boring you. Well, try a different technique. You know, there's all sorts of counted techniques. If you don't want to get off a counted grid, you know, the hardanger, any right. of the white work pieces. But, you know, you'll find something, you might find something new. You might find something you really like. You might find out you really hate it. You never want to try it again.
Yep.
But that's all learning. That's all learning something about yourself and about your craft and your art. And that's all good. It's always good to be learning something new.
Yep. Yeah, you get one of those, you go, oh, no way. I'm not ever doing this. Give it to someone else. Let them give it a try. Here, take this kit. Right. Get it out of my face.
Get it out of here.
Yep. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how this progresses on all fronts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. We're going to call it there tonight. Drune Rivera, we're going to look at Mirabilia pieces. That should be fun. Jennifer will be with us for that one. Beth has got the family at the home there, so all three kids back in the house. Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's feeding them.
Oh, that's what it is. That's the key.
Yeah. What are we eating tonight? I don't know. What are we eating tonight? Oh.
Yeah, go boil some hot dogs and some baked beans and leave me alone.
There's eggs. Scramble one.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll do that. And then, yeah, definitely catch Ariane Zurcher on Sunday, and really urge you to follow her if you're looking to expand, especially if you're looking to expand your needlework and move on to a little more creative level. She is example number one of she'll just do anything.
Yes, she'll try anything.
Yep. All right. That's going to be it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.